planning Christmas in your church post-COVID. How do we do it differently this year? What's the latest thinking? Our guest, Ken Noakes, he's the senior pastor of Lower Mountains Anglican Church to the west of Sydney. Andy Boots, the mission pastor from Hope Church at Leppington in the new Greenfields area there. And Jessica Brower, missions pastor from here at Village Church in Annandale. Now, Ken, Jessica, Andy, thanks for coming in. Let's touch base on your restart first, because when I rang you yesterday, Ken, you were just bubbling over with excitement.
There you go. Yeah, we started yesterday like lots of churches did, although I know there's others that have been a bit earlier, and it was really exciting. We've got three different locations and lots of different gatherings, and so with open doors, we were a bit unsure about whether people would sort of come back quickly.
And more than ever.
Well, yeah, like each of the gatherings were limited at couple of them, and it was really exciting. Mm-hmm. Our kids program, we'd scaled down a little bit, only to find that we really needed to scale it up again really mm-hmm. quickly on the spot. So it was really exciting.
You're looking as excited as a senior pastor gets.
As excited and as worn out. Like yesterday, you're thinking, oh yeah, we're talking to people again, live, face to face. This is great. Yeah.
It was your first day too, Andy.
Yeah, we kicked off yesterday. It was great. We had average turnout for what we were getting before lockdown, so it was great. This is so good to be able to see each other's faces, for everyone, hear all the conversations going on, and yeah.
And awesome. Pastorally getting deep into people's lives again.
Yeah. Well, we actually get to, in a way that we didn't get to as much over Zoom and stuff, people just shared where they're at, and a lot quicker to get to where they're at, and had better conversations in that kind of day yesterday than weeks online. So.
Jessica?
Well, we're up to week 3, Dominic, so I feel like I've hit a wall now. So, all the excitement of seeing everyone again, like, oh, I've really got to pace this. Yeah. And then Christmas is coming, so, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, sure we're talking is. Christmas, planning Christmas, and planning Christmas coming out of lockdown, mm-hmm. and it's felt hard to work out what to do, because it's felt like the community mood has been changing so quickly and the mood in the church changing so quickly. Have you thought about it, Ken?
Go back to first principles. And I think one of the things that's been lovely with COVID is that it's helped us as churches work out how to be flexible, to be able to flex up and flex down, mm-hmm. and yet still keep the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. What's Christmas? Christmas is going to be a great opportunity to proclaim Christ. We don't want it to be an opportunity to proclaim COVID, mm-hmm. but we don't want COVID to be able to shut it down. And so trying to think through how do you bring people together so that we can proclaim Christ at Christmas has been our sort of underlying motivation behind all of the different decisions that we've been mm-hmm. Making. And then how to do it in a way that if we were shut down again, then we don't have to just scrap all of the mm-hmm. plans. Yeah. And so we've got a few different things that we've tried to do that will take the mission of Christmas out within our church family, but out into the neighbourhood. And mm-hmm. so we've been trying to think about how does our neighbourhood want to experience Christmas and how can we connect them with Jesus mm-hmm. in the way.
Andy?
Yeah, we've been planning to be open. So we're just like, let's go for it. The mm-hmm. government's given us that way. And really, for Christmas is one part of our whole summer mission.
We feel more confident about being open this year than we did for Christmas last year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we've been, throughout COVID, we've been planning our summer mission. So I think Christmas is one piece of a whole pipeline of getting people introduced into Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so Christmas is a key piece, but we've got a summer mission called Summerfest. We just stole the name from everyone else. But we run a week-long thing in January. And then we do a summer series, and then Feb is when we get him into our conversion engine. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one piece of that pipeline. Mm-hmm. Carols before that, but we're not going to do our big carols this year. It's too complicated. We had to can it last year. We had about 3,500 in our local people come to an outdoor carols event, but we decided we're not going to do that. We'll do it on site.
Hey, did your building open?
It's meant to be, it's meant to be August, September, October. They're saying we're going to get it mid-December.
I was just thinking, did you get it for the opening yesterday?
We haven't had an opening. So we're hoping to get it in December. And gosh, it's looking great to think about having a bigger rain shelter that we can meet in.
Yeah.
And I think, we're hopeful, praying, because it will make a big difference.
Yeah. Jessica, you're thinking on principles?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, for us, similar to you guys, this is part of a long week or year of what we're thinking of for mission. And for us, we've had, like other churches do as well, a campaign of bringing 100. So we set our church members a target of can we bring, to collectively bring 100 people to an opportunity this year where they'll get to hear the gospel, whether that's church in person or to our Introducing God course. And obviously that was live streamed for some time during our church year. And my feel this year, I mean, we never took the boil off Christmas, and we're always looking forward to January, February next year, where we get our biggest influx of people really seeking Jesus. But Christmas, I think, is really key for our members who have been bravely and courageously and faithfully having those kind of small mission opportunities, as in those one-on-one conversations with their neighbours, with their friends during COVID, having those God conversations. And then actually now Christmas is that opportunity for them to bring them along, whether it's just walking through our building for the first time, or hearing gospel message at Gingerbread for the first time, or becoming part of our church service on Sundays over Christmas. And so for us, I'm really excited that our church members are going to have that opportunity this year for the relationships that they've been building throughout COVID, those deeper conversations they've had, to actually bring them to be part of a church community at Christmas, which I think is really special.
Yeah. And talk to us about together versus travel.
Yeah, sure. So as we think about the neighbourhood that we are trying to reach, we were trying to think, what are the felt needs? Last year, the felt need, given what had happened with COVID lockdown, we thought was to be together. And so our theme at Christmas was Christmas together. And we looked at Colossians chapter 1 because we felt like, you know, that's a way of calling everyone to understand what it is for Christians to be together. And we looked at the Christological themes, the hymns that are there. This year, I'm not sure Christmas together is as much the felt need. I think the felt.
So what is the felt need? Yeah.
Well, I think the felt need is I want to get out. I want to travel. I want to go. That's right. So what we've been trying to think through is how do we address that sort of need by thinking through the Christmas story. So Matthew 1, Luke 1, you've got the infancy narratives. There's a lot of travel that happens around Jesus because of Jesus. And so we thought we would think through that as a theme, and that's what's given us a sort of overview for what we're going to be doing. So for a while there, we're thinking we would call it A Lonely Planet's Guide to Christmas. Our lawyers didn't think that was a good idea. So we're now gone with The Great Christmas Journey. And then each of the different things that we do will work thinking about some element of that, about all of the travel that happens in infancy that effectively is all because of Jesus, for Jesus, or as a result of Jesus. That will be the way we work it through.
Andy, your demographic, who are you trying to reach and how are you thinking about things to connect?
Yeah, we're, you know, aspirational middle class, so it's a new growth area, and multicultural, very multicultural. So, but families is key, you know. There's everyone's got little kids and prams and everything everywhere you go. So we, you know, that's the demographic. We're trying to reach our community. You know, we're still tossing around what theme we go, you know. We did the Weary Werewolf Joyces last year. I think the rest that Jesus offers. This year, I think, you know, we're tossing around, you know, joy at last, or, you know, maybe the next line, you know, the thrill of hope. Whatever it is, I think, you know, the felt needs, you know, essentially all the, you just got to get that step in to speak about Jesus. So,
I was thinking, Jess, when Ken said travel,
yeah. I mean, this is not something that just happens in a COVID year, but for us, it's like we have this mass exodus, particularly of our younger members at Christmas time. They travel to see their families out in the suburbs, out in Tamworth or wherever it is.
Lower mountains.
Lower mountains, that's it. So you probably get a few villagers sitting you there. But there is actually still quite a core in our suburb that remain. And so in terms of Christmas marketing, our marketing hasn't so much been the content of the message, but celebrate Christmas in Annandale and kind of giving a warmth and legitimacy to the fact that you're here in Annandale, let's celebrate this together. So that kind of, I guess, villagey community thing. And then we have a range of events that that canvas that.
Yeah, well, let's talk events. Why don't we start again? We'll start with you, Ken. We'll go around again and pre-Christmas.
Sure. So again, thinking the neighbourhood, thinking through what are the demographics, how can we reach those that we don't know as well mm-hmm. with those that we do have and that we're mm-hmm. we're with. So we've tried to think through all of the different groups that we've got. Is there something that we can do at Christmas that would work for them? Mm-hmm. And so we have in early December, we have a welcome to the neighbourhood barbecue. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons for doing that is because our area is changing a lot. Everyone's moving out from the city. They're moving in mm-hmm. and we've got a lot of young families moving in.
So we have the opposite.
Yeah.
So we lose them in December and gain them in January.
send them. Think of it as a sending. Okay. And you're sending them so that the kingdom will grow as they go through. So we thought we put something on early January that we could invite them to that would also be able to then say, hey, come at Christmas mm-hmm. and highlight what's going on then in January and mm-hmm. beyond that. So that's one element. We are doing something with a craft made Christmas, which is a women's event. Again, it's going to be done in homes just in case, that scale up, scale down thing. Mm-hmm. And what that
just
does...
Kind of the traditional gingerbready type thing, or is
well, sort of. That you, people are invited. We're asking our congregation to think about inviting friends of theirs to their home. Everyone feels mm-hmm. comfortable having a meal at home, but they'll have gift packs there that they'll then do together, mm-hmm. and they'll zoom in to a talk that will be given that everyone will then see. That will be on one of our themes of Christmas, and then invite them along to what we mm-hmm. do through the rest of the other Christmas. Mm. Christmas.
But you had a thing about traveling through the neighbourhood that you were talking to me about. What's that?
Okay, so
that really sparked my interest.
Yeah, okay. So we've called that the Great Christmas Lights Tour. So again, people, if they're not uncomfortable walking back into church buildings, we thought, well, people are fine to go in their own cars and also to walk around their neighbourhoods. So the idea here, let me put a proviso out there. This doesn't all come from me. We've got a team that have sort of thought it through, and there's a gentleman on our team who's come up with this brilliantly. And the idea is that everyone loves Christmas lights, so set up the Christmas story in locations of in our residents' houses in our church where they can go along and see a theme in the Christmas lights. But there's a QR code. Everyone knows how to use QR codes now. Mm. The starting point is on our website. You go to the first QR code. It has a podcast. It has a audio recording telling you the story and then gives you a code that you then go into the next one. And you walk around the neighborhood and you see these Christmas light things, which are done by members of our congregation. So it takes the mission out to the streets of where they are, and they get to see the different tours. So there are two tours we're doing.
Now, this is your area. People drive that circuit?
They drive or walk.
Mm. Yeah, because, in our area, we think we'd walk.
Yeah. Like, depending on how it is, you can drive or walk depending on how you do it. We've got six or seven spots in each different area. One will look at Christmas around the world, and the voiceover will be describing how Christmas and why Christmas is celebrated in that particular culture. Again, the travel idea. And so they can go through, and it'll ultimately end up at the church building. Mm-hmm. So they'll see the connection to what goes on with the church building. And it links you into the website so that they can see your website with all of the information about the other things that you do at church. Mm-hmm. The other Christmas tour is looking at the Christmas journey. And so you go through the different,
nativity scene.
The nativity scene, but a different focus at each different site is the idea.
This is cool. I'm just thinking, do I have time to pull this off?
I don't have this technical skills to do that, but it's lovely watching it sort of come together.
Is that like a raising awareness aim? So like just a contact so people can kind of get in touch with your church and know, or what's the...
Yeah, in many ways we think the open door that most people when they're checking out church is no longer our actual physical door. Mm. It's probably our website, or it's the connection they have with the person they know, that neighbour that you were talking about. And so how do you make that relational, and how do you put the mission into the hands of the members of our church? church and create that mission urgency, well, this creates that mission urgency. People are going to be walking past their house. They have the sign from the church with the QR code.
What I love about it is we've just spent 3 months just being allowed to walk around in our 5K.
And, should have done that during COVID.
And yeah, now right. Here's this kind of interesting walk that I haven't done with a little bit of flavour, spice to it. And and we're all into the idea of going for creative walks because we're sick of every walk we
know. Well, that's true. You get the kids involved. Yeah. Lots of fun in there. We know how to use QR codes.
Andy, what's your plan?
Last year we reversed. We looked at the...
Pre-Christmas.
We think about it as a whole. And so really that is a summer of mission for us because we looked at the number of people turning up to church. And in January we get double the amount than any other month take out your special events. Yeah. And so we thought instead of having January where it's a time for a holiday, the Psalms and up the mountain, we're going to put our best foot forward missionally and creating our calendar around that.
That is such an important idea. You've got to have your best preachers on in January. Yeah, and not have everything hopeless and bodgy.
But not just preachers, your kids' church leaders. The person's first experience of kids' church and the leaders, we're not going to put our people that don't really know what's going on. We want to put our best leaders so that they get welcomed, the kids love it, they come back.
And that's tough because the kids' church leaders are weary at the end of December and they want to have 6 weeks off.
Yeah, totally. But
how do you do that?
Well, I just think you've got to preach the gospel to them, don't you? You call them, you don't ask them, you show them the need and how it fits in with your year calendar. They won't turn up. But once they see, I get it. I can have a break in first term. Yeah. The week five for that. Let's work that out. But let's just make sure we're, full steam ahead. So I think Christmas is the connect kind of, we're trying to get people engaged with Jesus, get them on site. But really we're putting up the video of Summerfest, which is our week-long mission. And, we've been planning that with about 80-odd leaders coming into Summerfest for a January mission. Mm-hmm. And then out of that, we go into our summer series, which is the outsider kind of friendly, evangelistic kind of felt need, questions for God, whatever it is in that space. And then out of that, we're going into our February programs and our conversion engine or our kind of, Christian Explored. We call it a fresh look course. Mm-hmm. And so that we get a big push into that. That's where, the ultimate goal is for people to spend 5 weeks considering the claims of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Will I bow the knee? Will I trust him as my Saviour?
Yeah. Totally. I mean, for us, our term one Introducing God course is always our biggest. Yep. And we spend, December and January scooping into that.
Yep.
And it's quite key. Do you do Summerfest at the beginning of January or the end?
The middle. Well, we've done. This is the first time. This is the second time. So last year we used to do a winter mission, but we've rotated because like everyone else, we're like, how do we get the leaders? How can we pull this off? Everyone's away. We just thought, let's give it a crack. And it was just spectacular. So we had, and we had like 10 families join church. Like we had a bunch of people in our course, investigating Jesus. So we're trying to work out the dates.
Yeah.
We want to get, teachers involved, before they come back. We don't want it too bad. We don't want to clash with, our CMS friends. But this year is an odd year for them.
Yeah, they've gone a week later than
that. So I think we're going to try and go the second week every year. That's the plan. Mm. But it just means that this week it actually clashes.
We've scratched our head on this in terms of we've ended up last year and we're going to try it again this year. We're going for the 2 pupil-free days at the end of December and the 2 pupil-free days just before school goes back. And we badge it as the one price for the 4 days. Mm-hmm. And so because you actually are exposed to the kids at Scripture and you can say, come on this, come on this, come on this. But we actually want the mileage from having 2 days in January of saying, come to afternoon kids programs. Yeah. And so we're trying to use it to, we try them in December, just doing December, and they'd all forgotten about the school stuff by the time you got to January, February. We tried it in January and we couldn't advertise it because we weren't in the schools. Mm. And so we've gone for the 2 days there and 2 days there. But it doesn't give you the momentum that you're talking about that would build over 4 days of your Summerfest.
So. We got a 5 day mission.
5 days.
It's huge, because we're not just doing kids. We do a full kids program in the morning. We do a youth program every night. But we have adults cafe. So we had 60 people in an adults tent where they're hearing a course on parenting and what Jesus makes testimonies. Mm. And then everyone, you get 2.5 hours where you get to chat with people. about Jesus, where they're at, you know, how they're feeling. It's huge. So much mission heat for our church family. Mm. You know, you think of like the way we started January, awesome. Mm-hmm. Like the way we started the year, everyone, a training ground. So we've got all our new kids leaders, all our youth group leaders asking people to come in to pull it off. Like you need a big team.
Yeah.
Just the training you get, the thinking about what's life about, why are we doing this, how do I equip them? It's just massive.
It's kind of like beach mission at your local church.
Beach mission, yeah. It's an urban beach mission,
yeah.
But the value is everyone you meet is in your area, yeah. And you can invite them to your church. They've met you. Okay. Yeah. I'll follow up just through the roof. Yeah.
Let's go to the Christmas weekend itself. So Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. How do you think about different demographics? What are you doing in that regard? Jessica, do you want to start?
Yeah. I mean, for us, can I go back a bit further? Mm-hmm. Just because we're kind of starting Christmas at the end of November this year, because I think for us, so many people, by the time we get to Christmas Day, a lot of people have gone, even just talking to a neighbour down the road. She has a date, I think 15th of December, she's going off to see family. Mm. But we have our art exhibition, which was meant to be August, is now end of November. That's kind of a stepping stone into some of our Christmas things. She'll be coming to Gingerbread that first week because that's, you know, and then after that she's gone. But at least we've got her for that. So we do Christmas in some sense all the way through December because mm-hmm. people come and go.
Yeah.
But Christmas Day itself, Christmas Eve, we have an evening Christmas Eve and a Christmas Day. And then Christmas lunch for that weekend.
So Christmas lunch in a moment. What are you trying to do as you plan the service?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that first date principle, isn't it? So you really want to, you go on a date. It's all about the vibe, helping someone to understand you and get to know you a bit. But you also want to put your best foot forward. So mm-hmm. it's a bit of like a window into our church community at Christmas time. But it's also, we do want to put our best preachers on. We want our best welcomers on the door. And we want to make sure we've thought through how do we follow up from this? How do we know that we want to see them again? And what is a clear next step forward? You want to speak clearly on the gospel. It's kind of that mix of come and get to know us as a church community, but also, having your best foot forward.
How do you do it, Andy?
Yeah. Well, look, we're family central, so we're trying to work out. We've got two carols on the Friday. We're going to do two carol services in the kind of afternoon. With the kids, the young kids, because we've got a lot of young kids, we're going to do a kids program for them. Mm-hmm. I think, like, going to ask them to come out. We've got the Sunday. We're doing one morning Christmas service for families. We have, the last 2 years, we've been toying up the idea of doing an 11 p.m. kind of, we've got a bit of Catholic and Orthodox in our area.
Yeah, that's one of the key demographics for you, isn't it? Yeah.
We have quite a large that. We as a staff are trying to weigh up, do we have the energy and to do that? And with a new building, we're thinking, let's just put it and have it for next year. But we think it's got legs and we're just not quite the right time.
Hmm.
But in terms of our key demographic is families. And so it's family times in the arvo, it's family in the morning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to do in the meeting though? I mean, we've got people, I mean, I'm just...
Yeah, yeah.
Run me through the program for Christmas Day. What are the goals you want to hit in that church meeting?
Well, key goal, we want to, we're going to be singing carols. Yeah. We want people to see our community expressed and loved, like mm-hmm. in that loving community. We want the gospel to be proclaimed
mm-hmm.
and we want it in a way that is clear, truthful, but, persuasive. Like mm-hmm. this is actually, you've been living without Jesus, like mm-hmm. that kind of way. We want to have clear next steps.
Mm-hmm.
What's the clear? If I'm, unorthodox.
How are you planning to promote the next step?
Well, we'll have a video of Summerfest. So we'll have, and say, hey, if you're new to the things of Jesus, we've got Summerfest where you can come, your kids can love it. You can sit in the cafe tent and you can have conversation about that. Like that's what we'll be pushing that. That's mm-hmm. our big next thing. We'll have a kind of summer series slide.
Do you have
slide.
A response card on Christmas Day?
So we haven't, we don't call people to faith and repentance or pray the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of give them, this is the next steps. You want to think about Jesus more. There's a, there's a card where you can tick, we want to do it.
Do you have that, like a physical card or electronic?
Well, like everyone, I think we're in the world of, do you get more, electronic? Do you get more physical?
What do you reckon?
We've been online, so we've been doing the QR code. We have a paper one that we, you do electronically.
Mm-hmm.
I think jury's out for us. We're not sure. I think
I'll give you my tip.
Yeah,
we had gingerbread, And we thought, oh, this was last year, just after COVID, where everyone was doing the electronic stuff. And we thought, oh, are people going to be a bit, you know, not sure about, you know, handing in physical things? Or we just didn't get anywhere near the response that we did with the electronic cards than we did with the one where you have to write and put it in a box. Like, it was just remarkably different.
Yeah.
The response.
Yeah.
And so our ability then to follow people up was harder on the night where we did it. Anyway, that was
so you're arguing for the menu card.
Yeah, I think so. And to make it as, you know, attractive and simple and natural as possible.
Anyway, it's a way of loving them, isn't it? Mm. Even the clear step. You know, this is something you want. Here's a way. We want to care for you, and we've thought about where you're at, and here's the next step we think's best for you, and we'd love for you to come and join us. Mm. Yeah.
Tell us about Christmas Day, Glenbrook.
Sure. Can I just interact for a second? Do you think the demographics respond differently on there? Like, you know, the teenagers, the young adults that we've got, they're the ones that really know how to use technology a lot better than the ones that are older, who would much prefer to write something down. Is there a combination there?
I don't think so. I just think it's easier to not actually fill it out if you don't physically see people next to you filling it out. I think it's that simple.
Yeah.
Like, you could very well just have not gone to the site on your phone.
Sure.
And so, I just think it's easier to give a response when everyone is just taking a moment to write a comment on the card. How did you find it? What can we be praying for you? Is a nice one too.
So what are we doing at so we've got Glenbrook, Blaxland, Mount Riv on Christmas on the Monday before we're making that kid, that, you know, that's our kid sort of. We've spread it out a little bit this year because we're recognising the fatigue that may come with returning. And there are a lot of volunteers involved. Christmas is about reaching the person you don't know well. And so that means that you are on mission. You're asking your church family to be serving in ways that are very different to what they would normally be doing. And so we put our kids' Christmas on the Monday before. Christmas Eve is the Friday. And so Friday, that's where we'll do our carols. I think that sort of fits. There's a bit of a reputation of doing carols on a on a Friday night.
On a Friday in the building?
In the building.
Because you said you're scrapping your outside one.
We had an outside one that was off-site in a local area that was 3,500, plus. Mm-hmm. But it's too complicated in this time to try and work out how do we gate it and everything. So we want to do that again.
You want to go back, right?
Oh, definitely.
Because I'm talking to some friends who were saying they're over the big thing externally.
Well, it's different in different sort of setups. I'm resistant to doing that because I want them in the church buildings to
see.
That's right. And so by doing, and also I find it's easier to follow when 3,000 people turn up. How do you follow up? It feels like a community event. Now, there may be ways of doing that one, and I'm sure you're better than I, that I would be able to think of. But if I can get them into a place where I can say, see, this is where you would be meeting. This is where your kids will be. This is where we will do these different things, knowing we've got different buildings that they could come to. That becomes an important way of following.
It's just
we
a different
idea. You were on Monday night.
Sure. So, you know, we're just trying to think each demographic, what is it that we're going to do? So Monday night was kids. Christmas Eve this year is a Friday night, and so we will do a carols thing there that will have a component that will really aim towards the families that we have in the area. Saturday this year is Christmas Day, and so we have four different gatherings at different locations that will hopefully reflect the type of gathering that it normally meets in those places as a way of trying to reach them. Now, you want to know what we're actually going to do in each one?
No, that's right. Tell me about lunch on Christmas Day.
Oh, I love lunch on Christmas Day. It's one of those really special moments where I think people probably connect in the deepest way and the most honest and authentic way, because you're sitting around over a meal. It's for us.
Now, you're not talking about your family lunch.
No, you're talking about
lunch in the church.
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, it's a bunch of people who would otherwise have no one else to spend Christmas lunch with. For Annandale particularly, it's because people's families often are elsewhere. And particularly last COVID, they couldn't fly out to see them or whatever. And so just the warmth that is generated from that event, we actually had to kind of, we had so much interest in it, particularly from people who were in further suburbs away, that we kind of in the end had to say, well, because, you know, had to kind of limit numbers with COVID, but to say, actually, this is it's a local community Annadale lunch. And over the years, and I think this is one of the aspects of Christmas where it's the slow growing fruit. Yeah. It's not the low hanging fruit necessarily, but it's the slow growing fruit where you kind of plant seeds of goodwill and seeds of the gospel that start to grow over the years to come. And it's actually, if I think back of all of our Christmas events, we've had a bit of follow through from something like gingerbread, and maybe the next step is Christmas. But actually, where we've seen the most direct next steps from a Christmas event through into our first term Introducing God course, most of them come out of the Christmas lunch, and it might have been their third Christmas lunch.
And in contrast to you, Andy, where it's family central, we're kind of 40% of Annandale live on their own. You know, it's not that they're poor. That's not the case, but
relationally poor.
Yeah,
I would say.
And so we're trying to work at the person who doesn't have, for whatever reason, they're going to spend Christmas lunch on their own, and they're just feeling like, oh, I'd actually like to spend.
And the way that we pitch it is not free community lunch. It's come and have lunch with your neighbours.
You've got something.
Yeah, we call it a sojourner's Christmas. So, you know, again, that idea of trying to care for those that are on their own without trying to make them say, hey, you're on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
And so come on in for lunch. So that follows our morning gatherings. And it's a great way to reach into the community and invite your friends along. And, of course, there are lots that can't come to that because they go off to their own family Christmases.
Now, we're running out of time, but Boxing Day.
Which is a Sunday this year. That's right.
I mean, God is sovereign, and yet Boxing Day is on a Sunday. How do you put those two things together?
Wait till next year. Christmas will be on a Sunday next year.
What are you going to do, Andy?
Yeah, we're just doing one morning service. Yeah, we normally do three, put it back to one. Definitely doing a service. It's Sunday.
Jessica?
Yeah, same. Except that. I think we're thinking it's probably good to have someone hanging around in the evening just to, if people do come for our regular scheduled village evenings, that we can say,
Well, we argued about this as a ministry team as we went through. Sunday is always there. So we are doing church on Sunday, but we're doing it as a live stream. We've been used to it this year. We figure that if we're reaching the guest or the person who comes at Christmas and Easter, they're probably not going to come on Boxing Day. We want the members of our congregation to be serving as much as possible for Christmas. And so enjoy church with your hot chocolate, your cup of coffee,
in
your jammies, like we've done a lot today.
Like the good old days.
That's right. And so we'll record that earlier so that we can then put the focus in. So we've decided to do that.
It's been very stimulating. Thanks for making the trip down, Ken. And thanks for coming in, Andy, and for walking downstairs, Jessica.
No worries.
You've been with us on The Pastor's Heart. My guests have been Ken Noakes. He's the senior pastor of Lower Mountains Anglican Church. Andy Boots, the missions pastor at Leppington, at Hope Church in Leppington. And Jess Brower, the missions pastor here at Village Church in Annandale. This has been Dominic Steele, and you've been with us for The Pastor's Heart. We'll look forward to your company next week on Tuesday afternoon. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.